Last week, we looked at two different healings in Mark chapter 7. Jesus exorcised a demon from a young girl, and then he healed a deaf mute, a man who could not hear and could not speak. One was a demonic affliction. The other was a physical defect. Today, we're looking at Mark chapter 9 with another healing. And this time, the affliction is a combination of what we saw last week. A father brought his son to Jesus, and the son was mute. He could not speak. But this was not because of a physical defect. It was because of an unclean spirit. The son was possessed, and the demon caused him to be mute. Now, when the father spoke to Jesus, he said the son had a mute spirit. But later, when Jesus cast out the demon, he identified it as a deaf and dumb spirit. That seems to indicate that the son was deaf as well. If that was the case, that means the two afflictions in Mark 7 were now combined in one person. A demon-possessed deaf mute. And the demon did more than just make the son a deaf mute. That wasn't the only problem. He frequently caused injury to the son, trying to kill him. The story begins in verse 14 of Mark 9, where we find out that the scribes were disputing with the disciples. And that shouldn't be too surprising. Remember that the scribes were considered experts in the law, in Torah, and they were usually enemies of Jesus. They would have loved any chance to discredit Jesus and the disciples, so it says they were arguing with them. Well, Jesus walked up on this interaction and saw them arguing. He asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" But instead of getting a response from the scribes, a man from the crowd spoke up. Verse 17, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." Now we know what the scribes were arguing about. The disciples could not cast out this demon. What a perfect opportunity for the scribes to ridicule, humiliate, and discredit the disciples. But Jesus wouldn't let that stand. Jesus said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Bring the son to me." Jesus was going to have compassion on this father and his son, and he had the power to cast out the demon. The scribes thought that they had won the argument, but Jesus was going to prove them wrong. Now let's look at what the demon did to the son. Verse 18 said it would throw him down. He would foam at the mouth, gnash his teeth, become rigid. When they brought the son to Jesus, the spirit convulsed him. He fell and wallowed on the ground, foaming at the mouth. The father also explained that the demon would throw the son into fire to burn him or into water to drown him. Jesus asked how long this had been happening, and the father said, "From childhood." From childhood. Imagine that. These things had been happening to the son since he was a little boy. That would be terrible for any child, and certainly frightening for any parent. So the father said, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus replied, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And immediately, the father of the child of the son cried out with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I'm always struck by the contrast of that statement. Jesus, I believe, but I have unbelief too. And I need you to help me with that. The father was being honest and humble before Jesus. The statement seems contradictory, but it was his reality. He had belief and he had unbelief. His belief was not perfected. His belief was not exempt from weakness. There was a tension. And if we are honest and humble, I think we know what that's like. Maybe you've been in that position before. Maybe you're there right now. And that's fine if you are. You are not going to be rejected for that. You're not going to be considered second rate in the body of Christ. If the tension is there, it's there. But what did the man do with the tension? What did he do with the tension? He gave it to Jesus. He talked to Jesus about it. He confessed it publicly before the crowd. It wasn't something that had to be kept a secret. The man prayed about it, petitioning Jesus, saying, "I believe, help my unbelief." This petition is a model prayer for all of us. When you have times like this, when you experience that tension, remember this prayer and pray it. Go to Jesus with it and go to others. Confess it, and Jesus will be faithful to help you. Rest assured that your doubts don't scare him. Your confusions and fears don't offend him. Go to Jesus in those moments, and he will have compassion. It's when Christians don't confess their unbelief. It's when they don't go to Jesus about it. It's when they keep it a secret or they go to skeptics on the internet about it. That's how people lose faith and turn away from Jesus. And that is when Jesus will be upset. It's okay to have the tension. It's what you do with it that makes all the difference. In response to the man's request, Jesus gave the help that he had asked for. Verse 25. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. The son didn't literally die, but it was significant that he looked dead to those watching. One minute he was convulsing and foaming and rolling around. The next minute he stopped as if dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and the son arose. That's a picture of resurrection. The son died to his old way of life. The son died to the afflictions that he had been suffering from childhood. He died, but was then given new life. A new life in the mercy of Christ. We usually think of death in a negative way, and rightfully so. We think of death as a judgment or consequence of sin. But this visual or symbolic death that the son experienced was actually his liberation. It was his peace from the oppression. What looked like death to everyone around was his rest. because the demon was gone. Dying to sin, dying to yourself, dying in Christ, those are not bad deaths. They are good deaths. They might not feel good or look good, but they are the way to resurrection. Think of Jesus on the cross. He died a good death. It was painful and bloody, but before he gave up the ghost, he said, "It is finished. It is finished." And then he died. When he died, his suffering and agony were over. Atonement had been accomplished. His spirit went to paradise along with the repentant thief. And then he was raised bodily on Sunday morning. That is the model for us as we die daily to ourselves and eventually die physically. In verse 28, the disciples asked Jesus why they couldn't cast out the demon. And it is a little puzzling because he had given them power before to cast out demons. So why couldn't they do it this time? Jesus' answer was, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." And that's all that Mark records of that conversation. It's a little bizarre, and it doesn't give us a whole lot of information. Jesus answered the disciples, but he leaves us with more questions. What did he mean by this kind of demon? Does it mean there are different classifications of demons, some stronger than others? And if that's the case, one wonders if the same is true of angels. It's verses like this that give us the idea that spirit beings, angels or demons, have different degrees of power and authority. But we need to remember that this is a very mysterious thing that Jesus alludes to. The Bible does not give us a comprehensive study on spirit beings. We know they exist. We know they can do stuff. But there's a whole lot that we don't know. And so, because of that, we have to be cautious with our theories and speculations. It's also interesting that Jesus said prayer and fasting was needed. Prayer makes sense, but fasting? You can pray immediately in the presence of a demon, but you can't fast immediately. It seems strange. Fasting from food requires time and patience. That means it would take time and effort for the disciples to cast out this kind of demon. But guess who didn't have to pray and fast to cast out the demon? Jesus. One point of this story is to show that Jesus has the greater power. He's more powerful than the disciples. He's more powerful than the demon. Regular humans would have to pray and fast, but Jesus, the God-man, rebuked the demon directly, and the demon fled. All it took was his verbal command. Jesus is God in the flesh, and he is sovereign over the devil, the demons, and death. Believe this and rejoice in the strength of your Lord, because his strength is where your hope lies. When you go through trials, when you are heartbroken, when you don't know what the future holds, you don't know how you're going to make it through, it's Jesus' strength that you must trust in. It's Jesus' strength that you must lean on. In those moments, Jesus speaks to you and he says, "All things are possible to those who believe." And your response should be, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." be like the father of the son, who was honest and humble. He took his needs to Jesus, begging him for help, and Jesus gave the help. Likewise, if you are honest and humble, Jesus will give you the help that you need. To bring all of this closer to home, some of our sons have been put through trials this year. First, we had baby Arthur with his medical needs. Then we had Finn with his foot injury. Virgil had a medical scare when he was born. Judah and Isaac were sick for several weeks. And now we have the news regarding Andrew. These boys are tough, aren't they? They have handled these trials very well thus far. But it's still sad, it's still frightening, and it can be absolutely miserable for parents to see these things happening to their children. Parents, you must always take your children to Jesus. In our passage, the man was interceding for his son for Jesus to heal him. You have to do the same thing. You beg for Jesus' help. You beg for his compassion. You do it on behalf of your sons and daughters. It was the father's faith and persistence that caused Jesus to intervene. Your intervention is the means by which God heals and restores. He answers our prayers. If you're afraid, if you're doubting, if you're angry, that's okay. Jesus ordains that tension for you to seek him out. He wants you to cry out to him. He wants you to be honest with him. Give your fear and doubt and anger to Jesus, knowing that he is strong enough to bear it. He took the sins of the world on the cross. He can take your anger and your frustration and your doubt. What does 1 Peter 5 say? Cast all of your cares on him, for he cares for you. Humble yourself before him, and he will exalt you in due time. Children and teenagers, listen up. In our passage, a demon had tormented a young man since he was a little child. He would throw him into fire and water to destroy him. And thankfully, you have something much better than that, because you have had Jesus with you since you were a child. Jesus is the anti-demon. Jesus throws you into fire and water too. Did you know that? He throws you into the waters of baptism and into the fire of the Holy Spirit, not to destroy you, but to give you life. Jesus doesn't give you over to a deaf and dumb spirit. He opens your ears and gives you the tongue of the learned. Isaiah 50. His power tames your tongue for blessing and not cursing. James 3. Jesus has done these things from your childhood, quite literally. Many of you were baptized as babies, or at least you were born into a Christian home, and you're being raised as a disciple of Jesus. Remember your baptism. Remember your baptism, even if you weren't conscious of it when it occurred. Parents, this is why I encourage keeping records, having pictures and videos, and all of that stuff that they can revisit as they grow up. Children, teenagers, remember that Jesus is stronger than the devil, the demons, and death, and he has claimed you as his own. He has claimed you as his own. His power and might will guide you through every trial. All you have to do is keep asking for his help. keep asking for his help. When you have doubts, don't go to the unbelievers for worldly wisdom and empty philosophies. Take your doubts to Jesus, and he will help you. Never forget those six words. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.